In this episode, Kirk visits Garden Variety Cannabis Dispensary in Winnipeg. After the tour, Garden Variety announced a great offer for Reefer Madness listeners. If you go into either of the Garden Variety shops in Winnipeg and say, "I listen to Reefer Madness," they'll give you 15% off your purchase. That's pretty cool. That's like making your purchase tax-free. All right, without further ado, here we go.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Trevor! Kirk, we're back.
Hey, man. How are you?
I am good. You've been traveling around again.
I have been traveling around again, yes. I'm bringing you a story from Winnipeg, Garden Variety.
And what's Garden Variety?
Garden Variety is a dispensary of cannabis, so it links really well to my Colorado trip.
Yeah, they actually have a Colorado connection, don't they?
Like, yes, they do. And I'll get into that. And so on season one, episode 8, we talk about my introduction, our introduction to a dispensary. So I'm going to compare what I learned from that one to this one.
And are you going to mention that you've been edumacated a little bit lately?
I have been edumacated, yes. Kirk Nyquist, I'm a registered nurse.
I'm Trevor Schufeld, I'm the pharmacist.
I had an opportunity to go to a therapeutics use for medical cannabis nursing seminar.
And did you learn lots?
You know, did I learn lots?
You sound uncertain.
Well, I'm not sure if I learned lots. What I did learn, Trevor, is that when we started this project, this Reefer Madness podcast project, we were kind of discouraged by our colleges.
Yes.
Yes, kind of disturbed. And we decided that we wanted to do an educational podcast on cannabis. What I did learn during the seminar is that we're on point. We're on point. What the presenter, and I'm going to do an episode on this coming in the future, so stand by. But what the presenter was saying, we have in our library. So when you go to the Library of Reefer Madness, you will find many of the points, the endocannabinoid system, the scientists, driving on cannabis, all those issues that we explored in this seminar.
So you're saying the nurses there could have saved their entry fee and just listened to the podcast?
Yes.
But they wouldn't have got their continuing education credits?
Yes.
Okay.
But I did manage to stand up and introduce myself as a podcast.
Shocking. In a large group, you stood up and drew attention to yourself.
I drew attention to myself. Yes, the redhead once again stood out in the crowd. Is this episode sponsored?
Yes, we've got Strain Print. So Strain Print, they're a fantastic group of people, but first and foremost, they're an app. Kirk, what do you do with your Strain Print app?
What I do with my Strain Print app as a recreational user is I just follow the different cannabis strains or cultivars that I use and how I use it. So as a nurse, what I find interesting, and again, wherever I go, I do discuss Strain Print with people. What it does as a medical person is it allows you to track the person's use of their medical cannabis.
We compare it to diabetic logs.
Yes, often. We have. Yeah,
and,
very much.
And I think that, you know, because both you and I are familiar with those, I think that's a good comparison because, you know, after you smoke, ingest, however, strain X, you're not going to remember 3 weeks later how that made your MS spasticity feel, but this will get you to log it.
It makes subjective information objective.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Strain Print as a company gathers that knowledge and then they use it for medical people to say that certain cultivars of cannabis does X for your illness or your concern. So strainprint.ca, they sponsor us. We are very, very much a proponent of them. We support them, so they support us.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah, we're getting used to the sponsorship stuff. And if other people want to sponsor this excellent podcast, please get a hold of us. We are at reefermed.ca on the worldwide web. And we also are on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and find us in iHeartRadio and iTunes. We're out there, people. And if every one of you told one person, we'd have
more people.
More people. So where are we at? I guess it's my story, right?
Yeah. So you arrive at Garden Variety, and then what?
So Trevor, I drive to a mall. The mall is very close to the Winnipeg International Airport. So any visitors to Winnipeg can easily stop there as they visit Winnipeg. They can get their legal cannabis there. So I park in this mall. And I walk into this atrium. It's very nondescript. You can't really tell it's a cannabis shop, just garden variety. There's a young lady at a desk, and I introduce myself as being expected. And she goes, oh, who's expecting you? And I get introduced to Sheila. So I just walked into Garden Variety, and please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sheila Doy. I'm the regional manager for Garden Variety.
Well, thank you for inviting us here. Here I am. So I'm going to get a visitor's pass.
You bet. Okay. We're going to set you up, Kirk, with a visitor pass.
Okay.
So we can bring in the store and give you a little bit of a tour.
All right.
And then we'll sit down and chat with Ari, one of our top bud tenders, and get a little bit of a lay of the land.
Wonderful.
After the tour.
Great.
Okay.
Can you give me a quick update about just an overview of the company now?
Yes, we have two locations in Winnipeg. This location here on Ellis Avenue, and then we have one on Sterling Lyon Parkway in the new Seasons of Tuxedo development that's opened up there. Excellent locations because we don't have anybody too close to us. So
right.
our competition has sort of secured the south and the east a little bit. So
right.
We're really happy that we're independently over here.
Well, close to the airport.
That's right.
That's nice.
Yes, we definitely draw from our travelers. We have the industrial area and then we're border on residential
and
as
then
well.
Tuxedo is a nice place to be.
That's right. On its way to the airport too.
Right.
Keniston Boulevard is a
okay.
great route towards the airport.
That's also
and
a professional mall, isn't it? The
yes.
mall?
Yes. Yeah. We've got the Outlet Collection Mall and you've got some car dealerships opening up in there, and then you've got a neighborhood that isn't serviced by cannabis at the moment other than by Garden Variety.
Cool.
Our next two locations that we're opening are Brandon and Thompson, which is going to be late this summer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you have an Aboriginal connection?
We do. One of our partners is Fisher River Cree Nation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And as well, we have the Chippewas of the Thames in right. Ontario.
Okay.
So we do have two First Nation partners with us, but one is based in Manitoba and one is based in Ontario.
And how are you connected to Colorado?
Colorado is really the visionaries of this particular design, and they worked with the three other partners that I haven't mentioned. So MediPharm Lab, Avana, and Maple Star are the other three partners that have pulled the application together to really create Garden Variety and win a license in Manitoba. And then Native Roots Colorado is really the visionaries of the design. We've got that retail backbone behind us doing the design and the vision work. And then they hired the team, and we get to take it from here.
Okay, so to clarify, this dispensary, these guys do not grow their own. Typically of the Delta Nines, and we've interviewed Delta Nine in season 2, episode 1, Legal Weed. We talked to John
Arbuthnot,
and we talked to them. They're obviously growers, and they dispense their weed.
They're vertically integrated.
Yes, and also our local shop is also vertically
integrated.
This shop is not. These guys are strictly customer service based. Business. And my goodness, they are built around customer service. I was quite impressed. They have partnerships with the Fisher River Cree Nation, the Chippewa of the Thames First Nations, Avian Canada Incorporate, MediPharm Labs. We've heard a lot about MediPharm Labs. I think that's somebody you want to interview eventually.
There's so many people, but they're on the list.
Yeah, they're on the list. And they have Native Roots Dispensary from Colorado. And as soon as I walked in there, Trevor, I was very much into a consumer experience, and I was very much reminded of my Colorado experience. Like I said in season 1, episode 8, when Michelle and I had an opportunity to go to alternative organic alternatives in Fort Collins, right? So these guys are like that. So you walk into the atrium, I get a visitor's pass, and we'll hear about my visitor pass. They will ID anybody that's under 25 years old.
That looks under 25.
Yeah, very similar to the liquor laws in Manitoba.
Because I look under 25. I'm sure I'd be ID'd.
On Monday mornings usually, right? So they've all been educated, taken the Smart Choices workshops. They refer to their bud tenders as mood makers.
Yeah, I really like that. You were mentioning that a couple times off air. Bud tenders is good. I'm quite used to the word, but mood makers, that, you know, it's nice when you sort of Give it your own brand, your own tweak.
Yeah. And I went in there with that thought. And I'll get into that. So let's hear myself going through the store.
So let's, yes. What do we do next?
Okay, well, let's grab your visitor badge and get you set up with a Tia and Aaron here.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
For you.
Do you want me to sign in?
Yeah, we'll have you sign in.
And what is this? This is so everyone that comes here signs in?
If it's a visitor. So somebody's meeting us for regarding advertising, or if it's one of the regulators, or maybe one of our licensed producers.
Okay.
We definitely have them sign in, and it just gives them a little bit of more access to a few more spots in the store. And
okay.
Yeah, perfect. We know you're here and who you are and that you're important to us.
Perfect, thank you.
Not that
I feel important.
Every consumer would be.
I have a visitor's pass. Let's
here
go visit.
You go.
Shoot. Thank you.
No.
All right, so I'm walking into the store. Yeah.
Oh,
hi, how are you?
Nice to see you here.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh, wow. Oh, there they are.
We
beautiful.
Do have the singular attention of every bartender in the house at the moment.
I'm the sole customer. Fantastic.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
So I can give you a little bit of a tour.
Sure, do that.
So this particular end of the store, and maybe I'll pre-frame a little bit too, Kirk, that our store on Sterling Iron is mirrors this location.
Okay.
It's just the reverse. So you come into the store and...
So that's part of your branding, I guess, right?
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. So we start off with a little bit of merchandise, nice and close and accessible to the doors.
Yeah.
And I should say merchandise being apparel.
Well, the first thing I saw, I walked in, I see the
that's
t-shirts.
Right. That's yep. right. And it's an appropriate amount of inventory in the sense that, you know, we're... If a consumer would like to wear our brand, that there's something here for them,
right.
Something appealing, and yet it's not overstated in the sense that it's hard to distinguish, are we a clothing store or a
sure.
cannabis store?
Well, no, like you say, garden variety, it's you're not promoting cannabis at all.
That's our Spare Wolf, which is our mascot,
yes.
And then we have some fun messages which
yeah.
we're going to play on over the year to come.
Right on.
And then as you come this way, you come into our accessories cabinet where we have
the volcano,
the fun items, and on each end you'll notice these kiosks, these monitors.
Okay.
Currently, what we're running some messages of different uses for cannabis, some of our fun messaging from our websites. I should say singular. And then anytime that we might do a feature, like right now we have what we're calling a bundle for Pride, and we did one for May Long Weekend. We also did one for Mother's Day, where we bundle a series of products together
okay.
and create a nice value for the consumer. We'll also put that on our kiosks as well and
okay.
have that running through the day. So some really beautiful imagery. And over time, what this will change to is for in-store ordering and picking up at the window. So if you didn't really want to engage with one of the bud tenders, we call them mood makers, by the way.
Mood makers. Nice one.
Garden variety mood makers.
Okay.
And you could touch screen, place your order.
Oh.
And then one of the team would pack the order up and have it ready for you for pickup.
Sort of like McDonald's.
That's right. When we leave,
yeah.
I'll show you another section just on the outside of the reception area where
okay.
we have an actual window area where you can come and pick up your order.
Okay.
So basically order ahead, just like McDonald's, as you said.
Right.
Starbucks is one of the first that did that, order ahead. So we see that as another way that our consumer can benefit from from an access standpoint. We can deliver to your home, you can shop right in store with our mood makers, or you have the ability to eventually order and pick, order ahead for pickup. So yeah, three means.
So Puff Love, is that your...
That's one of our messages. Soon we'll have a t-shirt that'll say Puff Puff Love. That's very Instagram worthy. That's
oh, yes.
Statement.
Hashtag Puff Puff Love.
That's right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we kind of move around, same thing, a little more apparel, and then we come to the back here. And this is basically today. What exists in here is we will have some pre-rolls as well as our capsules, our sprays, and our oils.
Okay.
We'll contain them all in this beautiful cabinet. And over time, it changes just based on stock levels as well as any of the material that's provided to us from the producers to sort of signify and help their product stand out. And as you can see, we've got the little bundle here for Pride.
So a shoebox and sort
this,
of...
Yeah, this
so
is
it's
our,
a ready-made, it's a ready-made gift.
You got it. So this box is what we use when we ship to somebody's home.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful package.
Yes.
And then so we've colored it with some Pride, the Pride flag with some tissue paper and put product in there that we felt would be really great for this week. It's all about, you know, attending events, being with friends. So you'll notice it's a very spacious store, Kirk, too. Right. But which excites me about this is the future of Phase 2 cannabis recreation edibles.
Food, yeah.
So we've designed the store with the ability to be ready for that. The refrigeration or the end space, we've got an ability to flex that to for beverages or whatever that's really going to look like. There's so much yet to be known.
Okay.
But that's one of the beautiful features of the design of this location.
Yeah.
And we've kind of passed the center of the store too here, where we have a consultation table right in the center.
Okay.
And that is just for customers to sit and have a conversation with our mood makers. It's for the staff to have meetings that, you know, maybe aren't private in nature, and they can have, you know, in-store meetings.
Sure.
It's a great stopping point. We've had some of our consumers ask us after they've made the purchase, if we could maybe
roll them something. Sure.
Their product for them or teach them how. So that's a beautiful area right in the center. And then the two ends, they really do mirror each other, but we call these our island tables, and we change them periodically as to what we're showcasing in there.
Are these dupe tubes?
These are terpenes.
Terpenes.
Terpene.
So you can smell them?
You betcha. And I think I'm going to let Ari have the honors
sure.
to do that.
All
because
right.
he is really our expert on this
All right.
area. But
now you made a comment that if I buy my cannabis from you, mm-hmm. I can go over here and roll it. So of course I have to purchase
That's
it
right.
first, right?
That's right.
Because the law is you can't have it out.
That's right.
But you can have it once you purchase it, can be open.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can assist with that.
So that's where a person can look at the menu.
Yep.
And then you go to talk to the bartender
what
you want.
That's one of your options for sure. In addition to that, it really depends on the consumer, because they, you know, as Artie's there sort of greeting at the door, they might right away know what they're after, or they want that immediate assistance,
right.
and they'll all walk together to the bud bar. We see all sorts of customers do different things. They might be guided right there. They might walk over to one of the cabinets. Repeat customers are very familiar with it there. They look forward to coming over and engaging with the bud tenders.
So, Trevor, I spent about 45 minutes in the store, and you're here. I say, "Oh, I'm the only customer." Well, that's a little unfair, because I may have been the only customer when I walked in, but when I was in the atrium talking to Sheila, there were people coming and going. So I walked in, I was the only customer. I had full attention, but as I was having the tour, people were coming and going. And these guys are a service-based industry. They're all about the consumer. So I walk in. The first thing you see is apparel. I'm wearing the shirt.
You are, but you don't have the one with the sparrow wolf on it.
That's the one you have.
That is the one I have. And we had another discussion off air. I was convinced was a griffin because, I'm a geek from a long time back. So, so I had to look up what an actual griffin was. So griffin is when you mix a body and back legs of a lion, head and wings of an eagle, sometimes with eagle talons. So it is not a griffin. It is a sparrow wolf, and I'm hereby corrected.
There you go.
There you go.
So the store is square. It's a lovely store. I mean, they describe it as Apple store. Everything's described as an Apple store, because we all know what an Apple store looks like. So the walls are all cabinets, and inside the cabinets, you got your pipes, your volcanoes, your all your paraphernalia. But they also have gifts. So what they've done, because they are about consumer experiences, they have built gifts for people. So it was Pride Week. So they had a Pride Week shoebox full of stuff for Pride Week. But they have Mother's Day, Father's Day. So if you want to get your parents a gift, or a friend a gift, and what is it? Where did we read right now that one of the top gifts people are giving each other in Canada right now is cannabis?
Yeah, I don't remember where that came up.
But I
really like their, you're describing a shoebox size. It's much nicer than a shoebox.
Oh, of course it is, yes.
And I really, because it was Pride Week when you were there, that's really cool that they went out of their way to have, the rainbow flag on it. And, it's, frankly, it's just good marketing to find out what's going on in the area and market to that.
Yeah, well, of course. And as a male, our demographic, when we shop, we go in, we know what we want, we buy, we get the hell out. right?
Yeah, that's me.
That's me too. I'll do my Christmas shopping, you know, I don't know, a month before maybe, but I go in, I get it. If you don't have it, I leave. I'm not sitting there browsing. What's nice about this store is if you want to get somebody a cannabis gift, it's made for you. You walk in, you get it, you walk out, you're done. And you get reward points for it.
Yeah, I think you're going to get into this more with Sheila, but I was surprised and impressed. I didn't know that would be something that would be allowed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the loyalty points, right? Like I said, this is a consumer-based business. They're completely focused on the consumer. So as a consumer, you walk in, and Sheila talks about it here in the episode, where they're building platforms where you can phone in your order, like a Starbucks, and it'll be waiting for you. And I think she also said... And I didn't clarify this. I think she's also said they're going to have a drive window. They're going to have a window where you can actually pull up, grab it. Like you guys have the driveway window at the pharmacy, right?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Again, one of those other should be legal as long as, you know, you're not immediately opening it in the car. But, you know, kind of like drive-through liquor stores, which do exist, sure would be convenient.
Yeah. So these guys are all consumer focused. That's the whole business. So they're not worried about growing their stuff in the vertically integrated system. They're buying from everybody. All right. So what was most impressive, Trevor, about this dispensary? And I have not seen this in Manitoba, I haven't seen any dispensaries in Victoria because there wasn't any. I didn't see any in Alberta because there wasn't any there. And so what I noticed in this dispensary is that they have a wall of weed, of cannabis, of different varieties. And there's 30 different ones up there, and they're in little jars. And yeah, point out that jar, they bring it to you. You can look at the bud. Ari, who was my mood maker, he poured it in his hand, showed me the bud, put it back, and he held the jar, and I was allowed to smell the terpenes and talk about the cannabis. Yes, you know, like that's brilliant to me, because when you go to the other stores in town, they give you an empty jar that apparently has the essence of the cannabis in the jar, and there's no cannabis.
So something that I was, after hearing that, I wondered, and maybe you don't know the answer, but... So she said that they replace the stuff in the jar after the smell's gone, which is good. The bud in the jar, can you sell that? Like, does that eventually get packaged and sold, or does it have to sort of come from the manufacturer in its, you know, Health Canada approved packaging? I don't know.
That was no, just neither one. Do I. Maybe it goes, maybe it goes to the pre-rolls. Maybe what they do is they just roll it up and it comes, because they have to roll. They can do pre-rolls, right? They can sell dupe jars. So dupe tubes of cannabis. So yeah, so I think maybe that's what they do. I never get onto it. Maybe next time I visit, we'll ask that question.
And you've got your flower in those jars. That's obviously just for display,
right?
So
the very top shelf, yeah, indeed, is just display.
Okay.
It's a really phenomenal investment that we made in this signature feature. As you can tell, we really want the consumer to feel close to the product and
right.
for it to be very, you know, can touch, it's friendly. You can't, the Mood Maker Bud Tender will not release the jar that the, you know, Ari will show
right.
you right away. But this is our signature. This is our stamp on cannabis in Winnipeg and Manitoba. And the investment was every bit, a big part of it.
So cool.
That's display at the top. And then these jars, we call them our smell jars or our aroma jars. And each of the Mood Makers, will just hold it, open the jar, and let the customer have a...
So you can actually, yeah, you can actually, it's real bud.
They're quite full.
Yes.
I think the supply in them, were very, very particular about them holding their aroma. And the team is very aware of, you know, if this is the signature, if the scents are gone, we have to change this out, because obviously we're not fulfilling the objective of the signature feature.
Right.
But it's, it's been really the talk of the town for sure. There's no question about it.
How long have you been open now?
We opened this location on March 14th.
Okay.
And our store in Sterling Lion opened on March 24th, just 10 days later.
So Sheila was a wonderful host. Well, here's Sheila's My Cannabis Story in another episode, because she has an interesting story of what brought her to the cannabis industry. But they introduced me to this very young man. And again, what I like about the cannabis industry and the cannabis community is people are just kind and nice. This guy was just very kind man, very nice guy, very enthusiastic. And I was introduced to him. And you're going to like this one. You're going to like this one, Trevor, because he gets into the science of the cultivars of the different cannabises that I was seeing. So I walked up and said to him, I want to cut the grass.
Yeah, let's hear what Ari had to say to make the grass cutting pleasant.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast.
We refer to ourselves as mood makers around
mood
here.
Mood makers?
Yeah.
And
we make your mood.
And how did you become a mood maker?
I went to the Red River College. They had a booth at the Red River College job fair for cannabis.
Yeah.
And I went there.
Dr. Shelley Turner's course. That's the one?
No, it wasn't the course. It was they had like a job fair for cannabis.
Right.
And I guess it was attached to that course.
Yeah.
And went there and met Jason and gave him my resume.
But how did you get your fundamental foundational learning? How did you learn to be?
I don't know. I come from I went to University of Toronto.
Okay.
And at the time I wanted to become a doctor. So I come from a science background and just like a general curiosity background. I read lots of philosophy. Okay. So
yeah.
And it's awesome that those worlds can kind of collide because there's almost no research in Canada, especially, about so much of cannabis. And every day we're learning things that, we had no idea about. And, the big one that we always tell people is that sativa indica is just a placebo, you know? All the newest research suggests that it has nothing to do with the way it's going to make you feel based on how tall or short a plant is. And then you always get people who kind of push back on you, but every single reason that they have to push back on you is different from another person's reason. So that really tells you it's not.
So an indica, the in the couch thing is, yeah, and stuff. So really it comes down to the terpenes, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All
100%.
All right.
It's just like saying because I'm taller than you, I'm a better singer. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Or if you have an idea, understanding of genetics, even tomatoes, you look at the variety of tomatoes, it's not their height that determines what's going to make the different qualities of the tomato.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess if I came to you, I was thinking that I really would like to have something that's an up, that's something I want to enjoy my summertime cutting the lawn kind of cannabis. That's what I'm into.
Yeah, so you're going to, I would say you'd look for something that'd be limonene primary. So, and that's another thing. I hope that we stop seeing, obviously, indica sativa because it doesn't make any sense, but then also move into what is the primary terpene in this cannabis?
Okay.
And then once you have these are all your primary, beta carophyllene ones, then you can be okay, well, what's secondary there? What's another terpene that I like that's in there? And then you can find something that really works for you.
Okay.
And but so for somebody,
limonene's an up.
Limonene's up.
Myrcene is down.
Myrcene's also it's down, but so is beta carophyllene and so is linalool.
Okay.
And so it gets into they're all slightly different. Whereas and also the coolest thing about myrcene isn't even that it goes down; is that there's proof to suggest that when you take myrcene into your body, your receptors can then take in more THC. So that if you take a strain that's, maybe 20% THC but really, really high in myrcene, it's probably going to get you higher than something that's going to be higher in THC but has no myrcene.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And myrcene's the most common primary terpene. So it's 40% of cannabis
is
myrcene primary. Yeah.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
I learned something new from Ari every day. Every time I'm with him, I learn something new.
But then even when we were talking before about linalool and beta-carophyllene, they also have kind of a sedating effect. Mm-hmm. Beta-carophyllene is the only terpene that we found so far. We have proof that it actually interacts with our endocannabinoid system. So it actually is an agonist for your CB1, which is pretty much how we started the whole idea of entourage effect possibly being real.
Okay. And that's CBD1, that's the THC.
THC,
right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So which one was that now? That was the
beta carophyllene.
That's the one that,
yeah.
Okay.
It actually binds to the CB1.
Faster. So if you have a high beta, sorry.
Carophyllene.
Carophyllene,
depends how you want to say it.
So if you have a high one, then the THC is going to bind better.
That's with myrcene.
That's the myrcene.
Yeah, myrcene, the THC will bind better to the receptor. With beta carophyllene, it's the only terpene we know so far that binds to a receptor itself. So the whole proposed action of other terpenes, because we don't really know yet, is that they might modulate the THC experience in some way or form, but beta carophyllene is the only one that we actually have proof that it actually binds to the CB1.
It binds to it, but you said myrcene also.
Myrcene makes it so the CB1 receptors can take in more THC.
Takes in more THC.
Yeah. So more THC can.
So this one binds to it.
Yeah.
So then, okay.
Yeah, super interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a whole new new science, a whole new system.
Yep.
All right. So I'm looking for the cutting the lawn upper canopy.
I would definitely say something with limonene, maybe something with pinene too, because pinene can kind of create this alertness.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say anything. The ones I always point out for that are like Jean Guy for sure. Very, very stimulating. You put your nose in there and you can smell the citrus.
I was looking at your webpage yesterday.
Yep.
And that's the one I picked too.
Yep. Good one. Good one.
Yeah. So let's have a look at it.
Let's have a look at it. You've got 7 acres.
Also, 7 acres is just a really good company.
Oh, you, okay.
You can hold it.
I can hold it.
Yeah.
You just okay.
I just can't not hold it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So they're very dense heads, eh?
And also, like, have you heard the legend of Jean Guy?
No.
Okay, so Montreal Compassion Club was the first dispensary in Montreal. I think it might have been the first one in Quebec. And the legend goes that some dude who looks like a wizard walks into the store. And imagine somebody walking into the store like this one right now and just has a, you know, big bag of weed in one hand and a big bag of seeds in the other. And he says, I want to sell my weed here. And you can imagine if someone came in here and did that, we'd be like, old man,
yeah,
not the way you go about it.
Right.
So they kind of laugh at him, and he's just like, oh, you'll see. Leaves the bag in the and leaves. So they kind of like hide it under the table. And then at the end of the day, they try it out, and they realize, this is very good cannabis.
Right.
So they start growing it, start selling it, and they're like, okay, when he comes back in, we'll give him a cut, like, whatever. Guy never comes back, so they call it Jean Guy, because that's the French version of Jean Doe.
He never came back?
Never came back.
He just showed up. Gandalf walked in.
Gave them some weed, left, never came back.
Wow.
And that's why it's called Jean Guy.
I'm probably got hit by a bus.
Exactly. Like, really, what are you thinking about, right?
Yeah. Okay. So what else can you show me? So that's the one.
I'll show you my favorite. This is by far my favorite. Liberty Haze.
That's nice.
It's a 2011 Cannabis Cup winner. It has it like, it's earthy on top and citrusy underneath.
Yeah. No, it's just like, yes, very much so.
Yeah,
very
much so. By far my favorite. It creates like big time stimulation. And that's my preference. I like really being mentally stimulated, really lifted up.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll definitely do it.
Okay, so now I guess I'm old school. Mm-hmm. So that is a sativa?
It's a 50-50 hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Okay, now how do they know that if they don't know
this? This is the best part.
All right.
So the whole thing with indica sativa also is that we don't know what a lot of these like classic genetics are made up of. They just can theorize, oh, this is some sort of Pakistani land race mixed with whatever.
Okay.
That's point one. Point two is that when you got to this point where people started renaming things breeds based off of the effect. So you maybe have something that was super short, super bushy, but oh no, it makes me feel really stimulated, it's a sativa.
Okay.
Even though the whole rule of indica sativa is short, tall.
Right.
So you also had an industry just renaming things based off the effect rather than, you know, what it looked like.
Okay.
So then when you go with, there's just, that's misinformation. Then in the beginning, the first part I made about like not knowing what the genetics are, so no one really ever knew. They're kind of just being like, oh, that's a sativa, that's an indica.
Okay.
Yeah. So no one really knows.
Nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Duffy,
99% of weed is hybrid. Like,
well,
it's been so.
Well, that's what they were saying about the whole point about getting that they're all hybrids anyways. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Guppy, he's developed now, you can get into the genome of it now, right? So can you not, because isn't sativa and indica different regions of the world? Where
so that's what they say. So
the origins.
Yes. But the problem with that is that we've only ever discovered that cannabis came from like China and India, and we don't have another space to go to and be like, this is the other spot. Like, it's not like it appeared in Africa by itself. It was humans bringing it over to Africa after it was cultivated and so far away from the land.
Do you know Chris Bennett? Chris Bennett is a fellow that researches about where the origins of cannabis actually came from, the Ukraine area.
Mm-hmm. Scythians.
Yeah. So
they were the first person people to smoke it.
Yeah. Too.
Really?
They would get tents and then get huge piles of weed and just burn it while they're sitting in a tent.
And Moses was the meeting.
What about the
tent to meetings? Moses was breathing in cannabis.
Yeah. And if you even look into the Old Testament, like when they talk about the anointing oil for the priest during the first temple of Judaism, the first temple era, the oil is called cannabossum. Yes. And they've had all kinds of different plants that are proposed to be part of this cannabossum, but none of them match up to the aromatic and sticky and like all the descriptions they have in the Bible. The one that does and is very close in name is cannabis, right?
Okay, so I've seen two now. So Jean-Guy.
And Liberty Hayes.
Okay.
And another one I'd recommend for...
One of the things that you'll notice here too, Kirk, is there's over 30 strains.
Oh, there's a lot of cannabis here.
And we have...
Super Lemon Haze.
That's lovely. That's a tweed, isn't it?
This one, Delta 9.
Delta 9, okay.
Tweed might also do it too, though.
Yeah, no, maybe it's because then I bought it from Delta 9. That's a nice weed.
And then also, this is a blend we have called Snickelfritz. It smells super citrusy.
So. No way, yeah. So that's they have a lot of lemonine in them then?
Smell it.
The citrus was
really strong. Yeah. You can smell it.
Yeah.
But smell it right here. I haven't tried it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of people just get turned off of it because it's a blend.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Do you have any comments about it that it's not in large nugs?
Yeah, some people just don't like the fact that it's...
Yeah.
I had a friend years ago who said something to me. He's like, yeah, as soon as you grind weed, it loses the street value. And I think that's the whole thing.
Because people want to see the bite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't know how well this was grown.
That's right.
When it's
that's right.
Like
and
that.
It's the first one I think we've had that
that's
has
a blend.
Looked like that. Yeah.
Most blends end up as pre-rolls.
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right. This is lovely.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll take a picture for you. Yeah, for the
to do that.
I'll show you this one too, just because it's so unique. Chocolate fondue. A lot of people think it smells like coffee.
Yes, I've smoked that one as well. Who's that? That's
This one's DNA Genetics, and then to also attest to the whole sativa indica thing.
Yeah.
This guy is like the most sativa bread thing up here.
Yeah.
And I don't think it, to me at least, I don't get quite as much of a mental lift as, say, as a Super Lemon Haze or a Liberty Haze.
Right there.
Yeah. Or even the fact that you can go online and be like, read someone say, it's an indica leaning dominant, yet it produces effects like a sativa.
Right.
That shouldn't be possible.
Right.
That sentence shouldn't even be a thought if it's really a real thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is
you could do this all day.
I could.
I get very pulled away when I come over.
So what would you like? What would you like people to know? What question did I not ask you?
I would like to see. You always hear about the THC and endocannabinoid system and terpenes and stuff, but I don't think it's talked about enough that the opioid system plays a huge part in cannabis's effect.
Okay.
And there's like mice that you cut off their CB1 receptor where they don't have a CB1 receptor. They literally can't get enjoyment out of opiates.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then when you affect the CB1 receptor, it kind of makes the opioid system start to work, and that's part of why we get enjoyment and analgesic stuff out of cannabis. And they both of them work on each other. So if you take an opiate, it's going to kind of start working on your CB1 and vice versa.
Okay.
And you don't really see that being talked about, and it kind of starts, it keeps on appearing in weird ways. So another example is there was research done on people who don't like cannabis. And one of the big things that they found is that there's three different receptors for opiates in your body. The two main ones that you kind of focus on are your mu receptor, like a micro, like a U, mu receptor, and then also your kappa receptor. Your mu receptor is the one that is known for all your classic opiates, heroin and, you know, fentanyl, etc. They bind to that. Your kappa receptor, there's a few other drugs that are used that are made that bind to that for pain purposes, but not that much because it's really dysphoric and it'll create hallucinations. Salvia actually works. Salvia actually works by binding to the kappa receptor, and that's why you often hear people have like wild hallucinations and not exactly dysphoric.
Yeah,
dysphoric.
Well, and it was like boom, done.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah. So then, people who don't like cannabis tend to have more kappa receptors near the CB1 rather than people who do like it tend to have more mu receptors. So people enjoy it, the CB1's right there, and it starts to affect their opioid system in a positive way more, and people who don't like it tend to get that dysphoria.
Well, it also goes to say why they're having such success using cannabis in the whole opium issue and trying to get people off opiates using cannabis.
Yep. Okay. They've also done tests where they give someone enough cannabis that it's they can't feel it, and then they also give them enough opiates that they can't feel it, but when you give them both that same amount together, it works more effective than certain opiates by themselves.
So you talk about the entourage effect.
Yep.
So you also sell gels. Yep. Or capsules. Mm-hmm. So the capsules is just straight THC. There's no entourage effect, or how does that work?
All the capsules and stuff are actually made from whole plant oils and stuff. Okay. So none of them are like synthetically made in the lab to be just isolated THC.
Okay.
And part of the reason is that all the research available suggests that whole plant is better than. You still get some entourage effect. Yeah.
Okay.
And the entourage effect isn't proven, but I'm confident that it'll be
the science. Many of the scientists and doctors we've talked about, they all talk about the entourage.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's not 100% yet, but I think we're on our way to,
Cool.
Even just the fact that that CBD, you know, counteracts the CB1 receptor is kind of proving it, and then the whole beta-carophylline thing, and that's kind of where we're really starting to see, like, there must be more here.
As you're listening to this, you can hear that there's pauses. Well, what Ari is doing is he's going off to the wall and replacing and bringing me different types of cannabis. I really enjoyed the story of Gandalf walking into the Montreal Compassion Club, leaving seeds and weed.
Yeah, Jean Guy.
Yes, and that is the cannabis that I eventually bought. And I will tell you right now that
how it's cutting the grass.
Cutting the grass was wonderful. Now, what I also didn't mention at the time was that I had also visited one of my favorite craft brewing places, and I bought my favorite grass cutting. Beer. So I had a whole weekend of grass cutting and mood making. It was a wonderful way to cut the grass with a nice feeling. So thank you, Ari, for that. So let's talk a little bit about
the receptors.
In the endocannabinoid system. Ari was getting in there about opiates and opiate receptors and cannabis. I thought you'd like to expand on that.
Oh, I would. And frankly, some of the stuff that he mentioned, I don't know. And it sounds plausible, like he was talking about the myrcene increasing, like basically affecting the CB1 receptor and increasing the amount of THC absorbed, or how effective it was at that receptor, and that beta carophylline actually attaches to the CB1 receptor, you know, the first of the
right.
Don't know.
Okay.
They could absolutely be true. Frankly, everything Ari said sounded reasonable. I think this is an excuse for us to look for another pharmacologist to, you know, try to expand on that. But he's talked about first the opioid receptors. So right. So he got them pretty much right. And you hear me flipping papers, sorry, but I want to make sure I get it right. So the two common ones are mu and kappa. And like mu is what morphine hooks onto. And then there's actually four we talk about. There's a delta, and then there's an NOP, which is sort of a new one they don't talk about very much. But yeah, he was sort of right on the money with, we think some of the quote unquote dysphoria comes from kappa. So, you know, maybe if people have, maybe there's some interaction between the cannabinoids and the opioid receptors, the whole, maybe they affect kappa, which gives you that sort of dysphoric effect. And then he went into the CB1 and CB2 receptors, which are really briefly, the CB1 is kind of sort of the ones in the brain. So we kind of sort of think that that's where things like THC have its effect. And then the CB2 receptor is kind of sort of in the rest of the body.
In the immune system.
And we think that's the immune system part.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's like everything else, is way more complicated than that. And one of the ones that I keep forgetting and had to read up on is CBD, which you would think maybe affects the CB2 receptor, doesn't actually affect any of the cannabinoid receptors at all. We have no idea.
One of the things I learned in the therapeutic course I just took on Monday was that, and I think Dr. Sherry, I think Dr. Turner was also, Shelley Turner was talking about this in the Healing Communities episode, where if you give somebody cannabis and the opioid, the opioid actually works better, so you can give them less opioids.
Right, and we think that's with the opioids kind of affecting that mu receptor. But, you know, the CB1 receptors, they do lots. Like, we talk about them being just in the brain, and they kind of sort of are, but everybody should go, again, to CCIC.net, the Canadian Cannabis Investigating Consortium. I think I got that right. And they've got tons and tons of good education, but just a little blurb from one of their talks. We think the CB1 receptor gets the pancreas to release more insulin. We think it affects the liver for lipid storage. We think it affects the GI tract. We think it affects how well the muscles take up insulin and sugar. Like, it's There, it's a complicated place.
Well, this is all the stuff that I learned in my workshop. One of the I learned a new word, and I'm sure I've learned this word before. Apoptosis, APOPTOTIC.
Yes, programmed cell death.
Yes, yes. Basically, it's say the word for me.
Apoptosis.
Apoptosis. What I learned is cannabis has been shown to actually go into cancer cells and demobilize them.
Yeah, you would think that killing cells is bad, but if it's a cancer cell, this sort of programmed cell death, like that's the problem with cancer cells is they become immortal. So, you know, what we're trying to do is make them mortal and die. And so that's this apoptosis. So if we can, something makes apoptosis happen more often in cancer, that's a good thing.
Well, they're thinking that this is one of the things that cannabis does. It goes in and makes sick cells immobilized. It immobilized sick cells. It knows the difference. Cannabis knows the difference between a healthy cell and an unhealthy cell. These are all new things that I learned in this workshop I went on. The other thing I learned in this workshop, which makes a lot of sense to me because I used to be a competitive long distance runner, and I'm a man that used to run for the wall, and I wasn't a jogger, I ran. So I was a competitive marathon runner, and I would get the runner's high, and I always thought they were endorphin release. I learned in this seminar that it's the endocannabinoid system that I got, which makes a lot of sense to me because when I did hit the wall and I did get the runner's high, I felt more of a cannabis high than I did otherwise. So this made sense to me. This was an epiphany when you asked me what did I learn. And the other thing I learned was how the endocannabinoid system recognizes sick cells in the body, which was also fascinating to me. So there's so much stuff about cannabis that we're learning. And one of the comments that the instructor made, and like I said, we're going to do an episode on this, is she said, why do you want to take 10 drugs for one condition? And as you know, as a pharmacist, if I have an issue such as diabetes,
right? Just a bucket load of pills,
right? Taking a heart pill, you're taking your water pill, you're taking a
two
pill,
or two or three for the sugar itself,
for the sugar, and then you're taking, because metformin upsets the stomach, you're taking a stomach pill. So all of a sudden, you're taking all these pills with cannabis. And again, I can't believe I'm saying this, and I learned this in the nursing seminar. Why not take one pill or one medicine for 10? Issues. And that's what cannabis is becoming. It's becoming that medicine that we've been using for a millennial, except for the last 75 years, that people have been using. It's a truly amazing plant medicine.
Yeah. And so many, and you mentioned diabetes, that's high on my list. We want to do some more, you know, individual disease-based things, but yeah, many researchers/clinicians out there are actually using cannabis to treat diabetes. We want to talk to you, but that's that again for another day.
So one thing I also learned is the safety of cannabis. So if you're going to take one plant for 10 things and you say, well, what about the side effects?
What about the side effects, Kirk?
Well, there are no recorded deaths, right? Okay. We know that. We've said that. And tell me what the LD50, what is LD50?
Lethal dose 50%.
Can you explain that?
Sure. So apologies to animal lovers out there. Usually it's mice. So you take a bunch of mice and you keep dosing them with substance X until half of them die. So,
okay.
So when you've killed, you know, if you have 100 mice, you know, whatever dose kills half of them, that's the LD50.
Okay. So what does 20,000 to 40,000 into one joint mean?
Well, usually it's a weight. So usually it'd be, you know, 1 milligram, 1 gram, 1 kilogram, okay, is a LD50 of X. And, you know, the smaller the number, so, you know, if it's 1 microgram, then that's really poisonous.
Right. Well, this is 20 to 40,000.
So that's a really big number. So it would take a whole lot of, we'll say grams, we don't know for sure, but long and short of it, it would take a whole lot to kill the 50% of the.
This is one measurement she did give me. 1,500 pounds of cannabis consumed in 15 minutes. We'll kill you.
Okay, I feel pretty safe.
Yeah, I'm thinking. There's no way. I don't think I can find 1,500 pounds.
Or stuff it in your face in 15 minutes.
In 15 minutes, yeah. So again, we're looking at cannabis as a medicine. It is non-lethal. It seems to help the body. We should open up a dispensary, man.
How about we'll just go back to talking to the nice people at Garden Variety?
You need to visit these guys and talk to Ari and get into a scientific discussion.
Well, I will. Their other location, the one you didn't go to, I'm pretty sure it's across the street from Cabela's and IKEA. So it could just be a day.
Oh. I would recommend going to, well, you know, I know I've been talking about this rant I want to get into. You know, I walked out of the dispensary and I did buy some cannabis and I looked around. There's no place for me to smoke it. I had to drive home in this lovely province of Manitoba to consume my cannabis legally. We need to talk to the government and find out how that's going. Like, why is it that I can buy cannabis, but I can't consume it anywhere except my home? And thank God I own my home, because if I rented my home,
it'd be even harder. Yeah, a couple things online, like Quebec, it was trying to have a public smoking ban, and they're walking back on that. But Ontario are putting these crazy, if you're a renter, putting these crazy clauses in rental agreements saying, you know, for God's sakes, you can't smoke this, even if it's medicinal, anywhere in the property. Go, oh, that sure sounds like a lawyer should be all over that.
Right. Well, you know what? And I guess to keep it simple, a few weeks back, and this is when I was ranting you guys off air a few weeks ago, I went to Tokyo Smoke. I bought some weed. I was on a conference, and I went back to my hotel. I got nowhere to smoke it. Like, it's a non-smoking room I have. I can't smoke it in the hotel. So in the parking lot, can I smoke it in the parking lot? Because I've paid for my room. So could I argue that's
your residence?
That's my residence for the next 4 nights.
That'd be a good lawyer question.
And I talked to Aaron from season 1, episode 3, the lawyer, and he wants to come back on. So we'll get him and talk those questions.
Okay.
So anyway,
the Canada Media's Collective.
Yes.
I just listened to an excellent episode by Driving Law, Kayla. I can't remember your last name, Kayla, sorry. But Driving Law, she is a lawyer, and she was going on and on about the Dregger 5000, the testing machine.
Right, right.
They bought one. They bought one. They tested it. Just go to the Canada Media's Collective, look for Driving Law. It's a great episode.
Okay, and also we did an episode too, right?
Well, we did on it.
Back in our library?
Ours was fine. Hers was better. But anyway, we are part of a group of podcasts who look at all sort of aspects of this. Go look for the Canada Media's Collective wherever you get podcasts and enjoy.
Yeah. And so, again, for those that listen to us, we always try to bring local music to this episode, to an episode. So Renee found some more local music for us.
Yeah, I did. I recently found out that there's a musician named Laurie McKenzie that I used to follow around the pubs back in the day in Winnipeg when he had Laurie McKenzie and the Bandits, one of my very favorite bands of all time. Great bar band, great musicians. But anyway, I discovered that Laurie McKenzie played on a song on a Sandy Chachanoff album that also featured Mitch Dorge, who was the drummer for the Crash Test Dummies. And Sandy, Mitch, and Laurie, all high-quality musicians. And so I came across this song called Muchacho, and I believe this is from perhaps it's the mid-90s. I'm not even sure. But anyway, it's a cool tune. And Laurie McKenzie, who's from Dauphin, is in it or is playing on it. So therefore, it becomes local. So today's song is Muchacho.
Thanks, Renee. Kirk?
It's been another good one.
You got to see it this time.
I said it. I beat you to it.
All right.
All right.
So thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Remember to come back.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermad.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
work? No, you need to move in a bit.
I do.
What I find interesting is that every time I view these videos, my hands are always working.
Yeah, and mine seem unnaturally clasped together.
You look like you're the specialist.
You guys notice those things. Nobody else does.
Oh, buddy. When you see them parallel.
Oh, right.
You
light.
Guys